Azul says that every person who comes into this world will have to leave it one day. This is a law of nature. No person is exempt from this. In many places in the Holy Quran as well, the subject of Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut, that every soul shall taste of death, has been elucidated in different ways. And by mentioning this in diverse manners, it has drawn our attention towards the fact that a person should keep his inevitable death before him. For by doing this, it keeps a person's mind inclined towards Allah. Further, Allah the Almighty has mentioned that apart from his own being and existence, everything else that is on this world, everything that is in this universe, in fact, everything that is in this universe is, they will all perish. Therefore, when only the being and existence of Allah is everlasting, and when Allah the Almighty has inculcated a believer to give greater emphasis and precedence towards the hereafter over and above this life. The hereafter being the true and everlasting life. That hereafter, where a person who had obeyed the commands of Allah the Almighty in this life will receive the rewards and blessings, and where a person who disobeyed God will receive punishment. Therefore, fortunate are those people amongst us who give precedence to the hereafter over this life, and who endeavor to attain the pleasure of God Almighty. Such persons spend a greater part of their life in an effort to please that truly beloved one. Or at least they strive to spend their lives in this way, through which they can please their truly beloved one. They give precedence to their faith over the world, and for this they are prepared to make every single sacrifice. In this manner they progress to such a degree that aside from service to the faith, there is nothing else that interests them. They fulfill the rights due to others, and if they do so, they do it because this is the command of Allah the Almighty, that fulfill the due of Hakukul Abad, the rights due to mankind. Because this is also a part of the faith. Such persons fulfill their trust for the sake of attaining the pleasure of God the Exalted. In order to fulfill the due of their trust, they do not care at all for any impediments that may come along the route, whether before them or behind them, whether at times of ease or at times of adversity, whether in illness or in good health, they have only one objective, that I must fulfill that pledge that I made with God the Exalted. I must fulfill the due of that trust that has been assigned towards me. Such people are counted amongst those regarding whom Allah the Almighty states, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. The translation of this is, and of men there is he who would sell himself to seek the pleasure of Allah. Hazur says, their faces exude serenity at all times, as if they are a personification of Nafsi Mutma'inna, the soul at peace. Recently, one such person who possessed these qualities, an elder and holy person of our community, passed away, who most surely was a great asset of this Jama'at, this community. His name was Sayyid Abdul Hayy Shah Sahib. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. May Allah the Almighty grant him a position near his dear ones. And may Allah the Almighty purely and only through his grace make this loss come good of this community. May God the Almighty create manifold people in his place so that this caravan of Ahmadiyyat can rapidly and always continue upwards and forward towards its destination. Now I will mention some details by way of a eulogy of Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib. Mukarram Shah Sahib was born on 12 January 1932 in Karel district, Anantnag, Kashmir. Then he later came to Qadian when he grew up. After coming to Qadian, when the partition took place, that is the partition of the Indo-Pak, he then went to Pakistan. His mother remained behind in Kashmir. So therefore, he was separated from his mother, and after 40 years, he met his mother again. For 40 years, he was unable to meet his mother. This separation he endured for the sake of his faith. The brief background and history of Sayyid Shah Sahib is that his paternal grandfather, Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Sahib, was from the district Khanyar, Srinagar, Kashmir, of a Sayyid family. The members of this family, due to some religious differences, left their homeland, and they migrated to the area of Narova, or perhaps it is Narva, says Hazur, and they settled there. One of his sons was Sayyid Abdul Manan Shah Sahib. He took the Bayat, the Pledge of Allegiance, at a young age and joined Ahmadiyyat. In fact, he had accepted Ahmadiyyat in childhood. He left aside the life of Pir Miriri, which is the following of the so-called saints, and he spent his life instead for the sake of Ahmadiyyat in extreme humility and humbleness. The history of Ahmadiyyat, Jammu and Kashmir records regarding Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib that Mukarram Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib Shahid in 1941 moved to Qadian, and in 1945 he dedicated his life for the sake of Islam and entered into Madrasa Ahmadiyyat. After the partition in 1949, he once again re-entered into Jamia Ahmadiyya after moving to Ahmednagar in Jang. In 1953, he passed the Maulvi Fazl, and at Punjab University, he stood at the first position. In 1955, he passed with Shahid exam from Jamia Mubashirin, and later he gained an MA with distinction in Arabic. He carried out quite deep, extensive research work. He was unable to serve Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya for a lengthy period of time. He was the editor of the monthly Ansarullah magazine, and also the Mujalla Jamia, and he remained so for 3 years. He also served as a printer of the Khalid and Tashizul Ashan magazines for approximately 12 to 13 years. He had also served as a manager and printer of the Ziaul Islam Press. He had also served as managing director of Al-Shirkatul Islamiyya, president of the Al-Fazl board. He was the first managing director of MTA Pakistan. He was also a director of Fazl-e-Umar Foundation and a director of the Tahir Foundation. He was the Nazir-e-Shah, the director of publications, and also the member of numerous committees. He was also unable to serve as the acting Nazir-e-Ala and Amir-e-Mukami. He was unable to work on the revision of the Kashmiri language translation of the Holy Quran. As the Nazir-e-Shah, he was unable to work on the set of books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Rohani Khazain, on the new computerized edition. He made manifold indexes and wrote many forwards of several books. He was unable to render great services as regard to the translation of the Holy Quran by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, may Allah have mercy upon him. He also played a key role in the publication of the lectures by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, may Allah be pleased with him, on homeopathy. He was a man who provided great and valuable opinion. He was of simple nature. He was righteous, noble and pious, compassionate, forbearing, humble and full of humility, and one who always spoke measuredly and with balance. Due to having a strong religious background, he researched every single matter most extensively and in depth, and he provided solid advice. Whenever he would be given any task from the Khalifa of the time regarding researching into any intellectual or matter of knowledge, he would always strive to fulfill that in optimum and the quickest time. In the publication and preparation of the books and other publication, he would guide his staff. He would provide most profound and most insightful advice. I have provided some of the important aspects relating to his work. Then the Nazir-e Shah, the director of publications, should have experience of printing, and in this light he was a printer and publisher of Al-Fazl and also other magazines. He was an expert in checking and analyzing the printing paper. He was fully informed about every single aspect of the printing machine in terms of its types, its technical specifications, etc. Similarly, whether it related to the publication of a book or the publication of a magazine, he would always render most solid and profound advice. Some details have been mentioned regarding Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib in the Al-Fazl newspaper. It says that in April 1945, he resolved to do waqf, that is, to devote his life. But he did not fill the form of the Pledge of Waqf-e Zindagi until 11 November 1950. As I mentioned earlier, he received education until the middle level. He entered into Jamia Ahmadiyya, and during his education in Jamia Ahmadiyya, he completed his matriculation examinations, achieving the sixth position. With the grace of Almighty Allah, every year at Jamia, he acquired the first position. Similarly, in the Maulvi Fazl examinations, he acquired the first position. In February 1956, he was appointed for the first time. He worked in different capacities in different departments. On 29 June 1982, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, may Allah have mercy upon him, appointed him as Nazir Irshad, Director of Publications. With regard to the knowledge-filled religious lectures or Darsul Quran of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, he had the honour of working towards finding the references and other material. He would remain awake every day until 3 a.m. with his team to complete this task. He would not rest until he faxed the required material to London. He also provided academic assistance in terms of the Friday sermons. He was also a member of the compilation team of the Quranic translation as well as the homeopathy book of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV. In this respect, he discharged his duties most excellently. He was enabled to serve in the publication of the Quranic translations in Punjabi, Sindhi, Pashto and Saraiki. Once Hadrat Khalifatul Masih IV, may Allah have mercy upon him, paid tribute to Shah Sahib. In a Friday sermon of 26 September 1997, Hazur said, "I have observed this quality in Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib, that whenever a specific matter is explained to him, even if he does not have personal knowledge of it, he looks for people who are familiar or knowledgeable about it. It has never happened that I gave him some instructions about a book, and he has not prepared exactly what was instructed of him. With the grace of Allah, he has deep insight, and he studies everything in minute detail." When, recently in 2008, I said to him, "That Ruhani Khazain, the set of books of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, should be computerized." So Shah Sahib accomplished his task with great endeavor. In terms of this new computerized set, aside from other distinctive features, one is that Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib took care of this point as well, that this new computerized edition should be page by page in exact accordance with the previous edition of Rouhani Khazain. This is so that the references that have been used in our literature in the last 50 or 100 years of the Jamaat, they could be easily located. Also, some new essays and also Arabic poems of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace have been included. Previously, they were unable to be published, but they have been included in this new edition. Hadrat Khalifa Domasi Rabe, may Allah have mercy upon him, in the Urdu translation of the Holy Quran he published, he wrote in the foreword under the title of My Thanks or My Gratitude to Others, and he wrote that a team of scholars have continually worked with me here in London on the translation of the Holy Quran that is being presented here. Similarly, a team of scholars in the center, Rabwa, worked under the direction of Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib, Nazir-e-Shad. Having reviewed the translation, they assisted me with their valuable advice and opinions. If I did not have the collective help of all of these people, it would not have been possible for me to carry out this task on my own. In a letter of 1997, Hadrat Khalifa Masih IV wrote to Shah Sahib about the publication of Mahazirnama, the memorandum, which was presented in the National Assembly of the country. He wrote, "The publication of Mahazirnama is very good. MashaAllah, you work very hard and with flair." In another letter, Hadrat Khalifa Masih IV, may Allah have mercy upon him, wrote to Sayyid Sahib that your report on such and such date has been received. MashaAllah, you are working prolifically and you are extremely productive. With the grace of Almighty Allah, you are the only Nazir who does not ever need reminding about entrusted tasks. Jazakumullah Asanul Jaza. May Allah bless you in every respect. Then this letter continues. It is quite a lengthy letter, but alhamdulillah, Allah enabled him to carry out great services. All of these words of praise and all of these tributes increased him in his humility and inclined him to working even harder. It was not the case that after he was praised, his productivity of work dropped. In the era of Hadrat Khalifa Masih IV, may Allah have mercy upon him, in Pakistan, the volumes of Malfuzat, that is the writings of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, they were changed from 10 volumes to 5. References were provided for all the Quranic verses of the Holy Quran that were mentioned within Malfuzat, where required new headings were included. And for the benefit of the readers, an index was included at the end of sections which mentioned the names of person, places and Quranic references. However, last year, in fact this year, when Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib came for Jalsa, I said to him that instead of the 5-volume set of Malfuzat, change it back to the 10-volume set. It would be better. So he did not mention in the least that we have worked so hard to compile this 5-volume set from the old 10-volume set, and that it would be extremely difficult now to return to the old format of 10 volumes. Rather, without even the smallest hint of complaint or negativity, he said, absolutely, we will return now to publishing it as a 10-volume set. Hazur says, when the volumes are thinner, it is easier to read. Malfuzat is a compilation of the books of the instructions of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. A person can read it whilst lying down, whilst on journey, or whilst sitting. In my opinion, if the volumes are smaller, it is easier in comparison to reading thicker volumes. So anyhow, he immediately started work on this new instruction. Similarly, with regard to the knowledge-filled treasure of a commentary of the Holy Quran, Tafsiri Kabir, by Hadrat Khalifa Masih II, may Allah have mercy upon him. This commentary is compiled in a 10-volume set for the ease of use of the readers. He prepared a most comprehensive index for the 10 volumes of Tafsir-e-Kabir. This include names, geographical locations, and also explanation of difficult words. He was a member of different committees in the Anjuman. He was on the Mushawarat panel, a member of the Department of History of Ahmadiyyat, the member of Iftar, the member of the Planning Committee, a member of the Preserving the Audio-Video Cassettes, and a member of the Preserving of the Tabarrukat. He was a member of the Khilafat Centenary Committee. He also had the honor of being a Asirani Rahim Mola, a prisoner in the way of Allah. He was also the president of the Al-Fazl Board. Abdul Hay Shah Sahib, speaking about his first meeting with Hadrat Khalifa Masih III, may Allah have mercy upon him, says that the awe-inspiring personality and compassion of the third Khalifa reminds me when after he had given me some important responsibilities. Then, in the first mulaqat or meeting when I was called by Hazur, so I went before the presence of Hazur, my hands were trembling with nervousness. Hazur, with great compassion, stated that what is there the need to be nervous? Comprehend the work that I provide to you and carry out with complete diligence and efforts. Then Hazur took my hand in his hand and this eased me. Hazur did not readily trust one, but once he did, he would show complete affection, guidance and pardon to him, and he would continue to do so. So he writes that once an arrest warrant was issued for me. Hazur says that in Pakistan, it was common for editors and publishers to have arrest warrants issued in their names. So as such, an arrest warrant was issued for Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib. When Hadrat Khalifa Masih III, may Allah have mercy upon him, came to know about this, he convened a meeting with him and also other lawyers. So he writes that after this, Hazur sent one of his sons with a message that say to Abdul Hay Shah Sahib that do not worry, I will pray for him. So the son told him that after the meeting with Hadrat Khalifa Masih III, may Allah have mercy upon him, Hazur called me and he said Shah Sahib has just left here. He has a case which he has to attend in either Islamabad or Lahore. He would not have left by now. So say to him that immediately after he left, when I prayed due to his anxiety, then Allah the Almighty made me utter these words upon my lips that God never lets his pious people go to waste, so therefore there is no need to be anxious or nervous. So that was a most frightening and terrifying case against them, but within a few days the grave case was wound up and the matter finished. So God's disclosure to Hazrat Khalifa Masih III is also a testimony that in God's eye, Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib was amongst the pious and righteous persons who remain in God's refuge and protection. Yet at another time, Allah the Almighty enabled Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib to be a prisoner in the way of Allah when another case was issued against him. The case that was issued against him was regard to a pamphlet in which there was a line in the promised Messiah alayhi salam that religion is based on these five. This was published by Secretary Lajna in their magazine. So the scribe Muhammad Arshad Sahib and also Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib had cases issued against him. Shah Sahib and also Arshad Sahib were locked up for a few days and the case went on for many a month. A missionary relates that Shah Sahib had informed him that at the outset, the Waqf-e Zindagi would receive a very small allowance. Due to this, life would go by with extreme difficulty. Upon this, Shah Sahib said that once my father-in-law said to me that from a worldly perspective you are highly educated, so why do you not go towards the world to earn your livelihood? Shah Sahib said that I responded to him that I have made two pledges. The first pledge I have made is of marriage with your daughter. The second pledge I have made is with Allah the Almighty of being a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee. Now you tell me, which pledge should I break? Shah Sahib said that I said to him after some time, that if I were to preserve my first pledge and break the second one, then how can this be possible? Hearing this, the father-in-law remained quiet, after which he never raised this issue again. Shah Sahib said, with the grace of Almighty Allah, after that incident, for my entire life, Allah the Almighty rewarded me without measure. Azhar says that therefore this is a pious quality of the holy people of old. The father-in-law, temporarily observing the condition of Shah Sahib, as is human nature, started conjuring certain thoughts in his mind. However, the response of Shah Sahib left him speechless, that an Ahmadi could never even envisage breaking the pact he makes with God Almighty. And this also elucidates Shah Sahib's trust and reliance in God Almighty. The passion that Shah Sahib had for the trust in God Almighty, and also preserving his promise that he made with God, was such that God Almighty rewarded him in return in such a way that Shah Sahib said that never in my life did I ever face difficulty again. Shah Sahib would take care of the sentiments of those who worked under him and was very kind to them. One accountant relates that I worked 15 years with Shah Sahib. Apart from just one solitary incident, I do not remember a single occurrence when he ever expressed extreme anger. So what came to pass that upon a misconception or misunderstanding, we gave some books to another office without permission from Shah Sahib. When somebody told Shah Sahib about this incident, then Shah Sahib was extremely enraged. Due to Shah Sahib being so livid, for 2 days I did not enter the room of him. After 2 days, Shah Sahib called me into his room. He smiled, and he presented to me the biscuits that were before him. Another helper or worker of Shah Sahib, whose name is Muhammad Iqbal Sahib, writes that I have worked for 20 years with him and he has always treated us like sons. He was extremely loving and affectionate to all his workers. His demeanor was in every respect dervish-like. When he helped any of the workers, he would not allow any of the other workers to learn of that. Similarly, when he asked for any personal work to be carried out by his workers, then he would fulfill the right or due of that. When any of the children of the workers were to be married, he would help them to the maximum extent possible. In addition, he would help countless people in need. Regarding his extensive knowledge, Abdul Mujid Amir Sahib, who is of our Arabic desk here, writes that since this humble one has been working on the translation of Rouhani Khazain, I have had a connection with Shah Sahib. At some junctures, I faced great difficulties, and in this light, I needed to seek guidance from Shah Sahib. In every such instance, Mohtaram Shah Sahib, with great compassion and in a most scholarly and cheerful manner, guided me. Shah Sahib's reply would always be well-reasoned, satisfying, affectionate, and also all-encompassing upon all aspects of the question, and alongside this, it would be replete with courtesy and filled with high moral regard. If I presented any suggestion to him, then he would receive it most cheerfully and happily. This way of his cheerfulness and compassion remained until his last breath. Mubashir Ayaz Sahib writes that at the annual sports rally of Jamia Ahmadiyya, for the prize-giving ceremony, certain special guests would be called amongst the holy and elder people of the Jamaat. One year, introducing the elder or holy person who had been invited specially for the event, Principal Sahib Jamia said that there are many people who work in different ways. Some are those who work with one hand and they clap with the other. In other words, they promote and announce whatever work they have carried out. They tell others that we have carried out such and such work. Then Principal Sahib said there are some others who clap with both hands. They are not carrying out any work. There is more commotion and propaganda on their part rather than work. And then there are other people who work with both hands. They have no concern at all that anybody sees or praises their work. Today, such a servant of the faith is our guest, in other words, Sayyid Abdul Hay Shah Sahib. Hazur says that this is 100% correct. I have always observed in Shah Sahib that he would work extremely quietly. Regardless of ill health or his feet being swollen, he would still do this. Once I asked him that, "Your feet are swollen, are you not pained?" He says that I have never realized when I am so involved in my work that I do not even know whether my feet are swollen or otherwise. He would speak little in the gatherings and the meetings, I observed at the Anjuman meetings, but when he did speak, he provided most solid and valuable guidance and advice. Then Mubashir Ayaz Sahib again writes that when I had the opportunity to come near to him, and for some time I worked as his deputy, I found him as exactly as described, somebody who was very quiet, dervish-like, and who worked extremely hard, and there were other countless qualities within him. As soon as he arrived in the office, he would drown within his work. In Punjabi, there is an idiom, Sir Sut Ke Kaam Karna, in other words, to be completely engrossed in your work. From the work of the office letters to the work of the Rohani Khazain, he would carry out all the proofreading himself. This noble, deserving of envy and servant of the faith would not even be aware of closing time and that everyone had gone home. He would work so much that his feet would swell up, but he would go on working in this manner. He was a selfless, humble and dervish-like person. I had the opportunity to see him from very near. There was no hint of hypocrisy or pretense in him. He was extremely compassionate. He was a great source of information of the history of Ahmadiyyat. Despite working extremely hard, he was a very cheerful person. He was a person who was the embodiment of humbleness, humility and dervish-like. I have testified myself that he would spend the money of the Jamaat with great thought, in fact, with considering many a times, and he would always be careful not to waste the money of the Jamaat. He would be extremely compassionate, kind and forbearing to his staff. He remained ill for a long period of time, but this was no impediment for the work he was carrying out. Then another Murabbi or missionary writes regarding Shah Sahib that in his personality there was not even a hint of pride or arrogance. Truly, he was a selfless, dervish-like and angelic person. Another Murabbi or missionary writes that when work on Rohani Khazain was being carried out, I found out from a certain occurrence how much belief Shah Sahib had upon the promised Messiah alayhi salam. That occurrence came to pass in the following way, that in the case of Henry Martin Clark, the promised Messiah alayhi salam has in every instance written Douglas as the name of the judge. But in Rohani Khazain, volume 15, in the book Daryakul Kulub, on page 349, the judge is referred to as J. R. Drummond, and the name has been mentioned as Pathankot. For this issue, the research cell and the history of Ahmadiyya department written to that what is this case? They both had the same view, that this must be an error of the scribe or the typist, but Shah Sahib's view was that such a big error could not have come to pass, and he did not include a footnote upon this, and he left it as it was. Then, when work was being carried out on Rohani Khazain volume 18, on the book Nazul al-Masih, there on page 578, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, Abdul Hamid was arrested again after 1.5 years. He was asked the same question, and he remained firm on that previous testimony that I did that on the behest of the Christians. Hazur says, in other words, when he was arrested for the second time, the judge was different. It was that judge that was mentioned by the promised Messiah alayhi salam and not the judge of the previous case. So he continues that Shah Sahib never remained restless and he always was affectionate, loving towards his staff. The librarian of Khilafat Library Rabwa writes that Shah Sahib was a very beneficial and useful person. I have seen that he would carry out work of the community with great efforts and endeavor. Despite his illness, he would work throughout. His feet would always remain swollen and he also had different ailments, for example, of the heart. A few months before, a task was sent from London to check the editions of Barahini Ahmadiyyat. Azur says that I had assigned a task to him to check certain editions of Barahini Ahmadiyyat. So he continues that Shah Sahib sent a message to me, that is the librarian, that collect together all the editions of Barahini Ahmadiyyat into a carton. So he says that I collected all the editions into a carton and I inquired from him, should I bring it along to you to check? He responded that why should you be troubled, I will come myself. Despite the fact that it was difficult for him to walk, he went to the library in person and checked all the editions of Barahini Ahmadiyyat. He said he did not want any of the older editions to be damaged in any way. This is why he said, I felt it more appropriate to check it in person. He spent quite a few hours checking. Muhammad Ahmed Naim Sahib of our Arabic desk writes that preparing a complete index of Tafsir-e-Kabir at a time before computers had come into being is something requiring immense diligence and attention to detail. He undertook this task with great endeavor. One aspect of his humbleness is that in the current edition of Rouhani Khazain, there are some printing errors. Whenever I contacted him during the translation regarding this, and he acknowledged any errors graciously and open-heartedly, wherever explanations were required, he provided suitable explanations. And he rapidly would respond to correspondences in this regard. Azru says he did carry out proofreading most diligently and carefully, but it is human nature that mistakes creep in. However, he was most saddened that there should have been no mistakes in such a beautiful edition. One of our Marabi Silsala missionaries, Kareem Ahmed Tahir Sahib, said that in 11 years I always found Shah Sahib completely engaged in his work. He was a very quiet person who completed all tasks with the utmost of responsibility. It was astonishing that he worked so hard at even an elder age, mashallah. After office hours, he would take part in the meetings of the Arabic board. During the work of Rouhani Khazain, he personally proofread each word of every single book. Hazur says that in short, he was a person of great scholarly standing. He was the most hard-working Waqf-e Zindagi, life devotee. He would often relate to his old missionaries. That I have also witnessed that era of Sadr Anjuman when there was great simplicity. Due to constraints, there were no unnecessary facilities. Indicating towards the roof of the old office, he would say that whilst now we have electric fans everywhere, before, on this pipe here, there used to be a fan. With the fan would be attached a rope, and whenever required, we would use the rope to make the fan rotate because there was no electricity. He related that once Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi Sani, the second Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him, sent Shah Sahib with a message to occupied Kashmir. When he reached Rawalpindi, he found no transport available there. If he had organized transport, he would have delayed the task. In order to fulfill the task assigned to him by Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi in the quickest possible time, he started walking from Rawalpindi to Kashmir, and he also returned from Kashmir on foot, and he delivered that message that was assigned to him. Shah Sahib had also fostered a girl who he had married to a missionary later. He brought her up like his own child. Even after her marriage, he would ask about her well-being and take care of her and send her gifts. With his children and wife at home, he would be most caring and loving. His children and his wife said we never heard him speaking in a loud voice. He was very mindful of preserving his children's self-respect and did the finest tarbiyat, moral training of them. The aspect of simplicity was prominent in his life. Showing off or display was abhorred by him. He was a model of steadfastness. He never complained about his sufferings or pain, whether it related to ill health or any other problem. His patience was so exemplary that when he learned of the passing away of his mother, who was in Kashmir, through a letter, he bore it with great resoluteness, and for many days he did not mention it to anyone else. He was an extremely hospitable person. At Jalsa, when guests arrived from Kashmir to stay at his house, he would offer them the entire house, and he would move into a storeroom along with his family. He always remained fully engrossed in fulfilling the pledge of his waqf, his life devotion, and he remained so until his last breath. In later years, he regularly visited his children abroad. Almost all of his sons live outside Pakistan. His eldest son is Ahmed Yahya Sahib, who is the chairman of Humanity First. When he would visit his children, then his family and his relatives would insist that he stayed with them, and he would answer that, "I have devoted my entire life. I have not devoted just a temporary part of my life." He had a lot of pain in his feet, and as I said, it would remain swollen. Despite this, he would regularly go to the office and would not let his ill health impede with his work. In his final illness, he went to the hospital 5 times, but every time he asked the same question of the doctors, that when can I return to the office? 2 days before passing away, he was again taken to the hospital. He was sitting in the office doing his work. He had some pain and he went immediately to the hospital at 12 o'clock for a checkup. The doctors admitted him. Even at the hospital, he would continue checking his office work. His workers would bring the documents to him at the hospital and he would continue his work in this manner. On the final day, he said, "Pray and may Allah be my protector and helper." He had become aware that the time of his death was near, because he said, "The time of my flight has arrived." Whenever a fax would be sent to him from here, he would reply to it by hand. Even until now, his final letter that he wrote to me was handwritten. He did not have any clerk write it on his behalf, and neither did he have it composed. And his writing was beautiful and measured. Whereas, due to his weakness, his hands would shake. Yet, despite this, he would take out great time to write his letters to me. On 14th December at 11:30 a.m. he remained in the office, and this is where he passed away. It was his desire to pass away in the office. When he was in the office, he stated that it is my wish to complete the work of correcting the mistakes in Rouhani Khazain. But however, he did not get the opportunity to do this. A missionary who works in Nazarat Ishat writes the following: that I was told by Abdul Hay Shah Sahib's Hamzulf, that his wife's sister's husband, that on 17th December, Shah Sahib saw a dream that his wife came to him and said that, "Have you not obtained a ticket?" Shah Sahib said that, "No, I have not yet obtained a ticket." After a little while, Shah Sahib said to his wife that, "I have obtained a ticket and I have boarded." On the day Shah Sahib passed away, at approximately 10 o'clock in the morning. This friend went to ask of the well-being of Shah Sahib in the hospital. There he learned the doctors had said that, "We have made whatever efforts possible now." Shah Sahib then called his son Imran over, and he said to him in a soft voice that the flight has arrived. The son could not understand what Shah Sahib said, so he came near to try and hear him properly, but then Shah Sahib passed away. Hazur says that therefore this servant of the Jamaat until his last breath remained completely devoted to the community. And to the maximum extent possible, he gave precedence to the Jamaat over every single other matter. Shah Sahib acquired religious knowledge. He read the books of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. But he also acted upon it. He did not just acquire knowledge. As many different people have said in the letters that I read out, that he always remained fully engaged in trying to fulfill Haqooqullah and Haqooqul Abad, the rights due to God and the rights due to mankind. When I was Nazir-e-Ala, I found him one who displayed perfect obedience. He was Nazir-e-Ishat at the time. And when God the Exalted cloaked me with the mantle of Khilafat, I found that Shah Sahib in his sincerity and loyalty had increased phenomenally, even more than before. And most surely this is what should have happened, because the link with Khilafat is different. He was one who comprehended the spirit of the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, and with all his capacities and powers he fulfilled the due of his Bayt, his Pledge of Allegiance. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of Shah Sahib. May Allah the Almighty go on creating similar persons who are so dedicated, devoted and helpers of the Khilafat. After the Friday prayers, I will inshallah lead his funeral prayers. Alongside this, there are also some other funerals. The first is of Imtiaz Begum Sahiba, who was the wife of the late Muhammad Munawwar Ahmed Sahib, who was a missionary in East Africa. She passed away on 15th December. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She was born in 1936. On 24th November 1952, she was married to Muhammad Munawwar Sahib. She was the second wife of Mulvi Sahib. From the time of her marriage until the retirement of Muhammad Munawwar Sahib, that is, when he returned from his field of work, apart from just a 3-4 year gap, the remaining entire time, the late Imtiaz Sahiba spent this whole time with her husband in Kenya, Tanzania, Palestine and Nigeria, and was unable to serve in this capacity. Maulvi Muhammad Munawwar Sahib, in his book Ek Nek Bibi Ki Yadin, The Remembrance of a Pious Lady, has praised both his wives. Hadrat Khalifa Masih IV also praised this book greatly, that this is how they should live. The first wife of Mulana Muhammad Munawwar Sahib would refer to the second wife of Mulana Munawir Sahib, who just passed away, as Apa, an affectionate way of calling an elder sister. She never used derogatory terms, and neither did she have a negative attitude or link with her. Both wives had a great relationship between each other. They would take care of each other's children to such a degree that people would ask their children that amongst these two ladies, who is your real mother? She, in order to fulfill the financial requirements of others, she would take money out of her pensions, and sometimes she would even take a loan to help other people in need. Her son, Mubarak Ahmed Tahir Sahib, is a secretary in Nusrat Jahan Rabwa. He relates that she had a great passion for the service of the faith. She was courageous, brave, and fearless. She would help everyone, whether Ahmadi or non-Ahmadi. Mubarak Ahmed Tahir Sahib was born of the first wife, but from the second wife of Mulana Muhammad Munawir Sahib, who has just passed away, one daughter, Amdar Noor Tahira Sahiba, is married to Abdul Razak Bhatt Sahib, missionary. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased and may her piety pass on into her progeny. The next funeral, or announcement of bereavement, of Sister Zainab Basim Sahiba, daughter of Mukarram Kamaluddin Kahlon Sahib of USA. She passed away on 6 December at the age of 83. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Apart from being Sadr Lajna Cleveland, she was also unable to serve in different capacities. She was extremely pious and a person with great passion towards the Jamaat. She was a local American. She leaves behind her husband and two sons. The next funeral or announcement of bereavement is of Amdur Rahman Sahiba of Calgary. She passed away at the age of 61 from cancer. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. An extremely pious person, she was regular in her prayers and one who performed the Tahajjud prayer. She also had the honor of performing Umrah. She had a great passion and affection for reading the Holy Quran and the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. She was also a Musi. The next person who passed away is Sayyida Wasima Begum Sahiba, who was the daughter of the late Sayyid Waliullah Shah Sahib, and she is from America. Sayyid Waliullah Shah Sahib is the eldest mamu or uncle of Hadrat Khalif Thomasi IV, so she was the eldest daughter, and she passed away at the age of 84. MashaAllah, she possessed great qualities. After every khutbah Friday sermon, she would phone. And in particular, she would specially request me for prayers and prayers that her children remain on the right path. Her son, Nadeem Faizi Sahib, is a sadr or president of one of the jamaats in America. May Allah the Almighty elevate her rank and may her piety continue on into her progeny. The next funeral is of Mia Abdul Qayyum Sahib, who was the son of Mia Wazir Muhammad Sahib of Quetta. He passed away on 6 December at the age of 88. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He had great love for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and a deep connection and relationship of loyalty with Khilafat. His nikah was read by Hadrat Musleh Maud, the second Khalifa, and Hadrat Musleh Maud fulfilled the responsibility of being the vakil, the attorney himself. Muhammad Mustafa Sahib is from Rangi Town, Karachi. He passed away on 27 September. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. In 1971, he accepted Ahmadiyyat. He was the only Ahmadi in his family. After joining Ahmadiyyat, he faced many difficulties and hardship. His brothers tied him before the village folks and made him a target of torture. Before he accepted Ahmadiyyat, he was also amongst those who fiercely opposed Ahmadiyyat. But after becoming an Ahmadi, he changed completely. He always remained extremely loyal and devoted with the Jamaat, the community. In his area, he was appointed a secretary Talim al-Quran, Murabbi Atfal, secretary Dawat al-Illah, and also Muallim Maqami. He was unable to serve in all these capacities. He taught countless Atfal, Nasrat, Lajna and Ansar the Quran with translation. He had memorized a large proportion of the Holy Quran. He leaves behind, apart from his wife, one son, Naveed Mustafa Sahib, a missionary. Nazir Ahmed Sahib Jakwal had passed away on 21st July, but he had requested for the funeral prayer in absentia to be performed. He was the son of Hazrat Malik Karam Din Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. In 1930, his father, in order to serve Hadrat Muslim Ahmad, the second Khalifa, radiallahu an, he left for Qadian, where he remained for 17 years and he gave great services in this time. The deceased was a Musi. He was extremely sincere and had amazing loyalty to Khilafat. Fateh Muhammad Khan Sahib passed away on 28th November. He was an extremely sincere and pious person. He leaves behind 5 daughters and 3 sons. His son, Mukarram Hafiz Burhan Muhammad Sahib, is a Waqf-e Zindagi, a life devotee and a teacher in Jamia Ahmadiyya. And his son-in-law, Mia Abdul Rashid Tabassum Sahib, was a missionary. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of all of those who have deceased. May Allah the Almighty grant forbearance, patience and steadfastness to the family left behind, enable them to remain steadfast in piety and to serve the Jamaat in every respect. As I stated, the funeral prayer in absentia will be offered after the Friday prayers.